Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 167. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Ken Phillips. What is happening, good sir?
Oh, you know, nothing much.
I mean, there are some things popping around this household. The wife might be going back into work full time in the either this coming week or the following week. So that is definitely a change that will take some doing, some getting used to, I suppose. But I am hoping to have some employment again sometime relatively soon. We shall see.
How's she feeling about going back into the office?
She is kind of excited. She was really not having the best of times with the work at home stuff. Part of it is that her job does kind of require her to be there for some smaller tasks that need to be accomplished, that are easier for someone that's there than someone that's not there. You know, she just has a lot of people pop into her office to ask for small things that take up, you know, at least a portion of her day. So, yeah, she kind of is excited to kind of get back to feeling regular, I suppose, is also one of the things that she kind of likes about the situation.
Yeah.
Because there's still kind of limited, we still have very limited plans as far as heading out into the world on a regular basis, or even as much as we would have in the past. You know, it's we're definitely cutting back on the travel.
And we barely don't. We've been sometimes getting, you know, takeout from places, but you know, we go to like parks and things like that. But yeah, that's I guess. But I think we're going a little stir crazy around these parts. So, I do miss kind of seeing other people in the office. It's almost going to be weird at this point going back now, just because it's been so long. You know, I'm sure we'll get used to it pretty soon. That's something people seem to be able to do, is get used to some new situations.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty used to this at this point, honestly. Like. And it will be amusing to see exactly what happens with Kevin Unchained next week. If she goes in every day of the week.
Oh.
I do feel like there is some value in and taking a little bit of a break from each other.
Yeah, the 24/7 is a little much. You guys kind of have the same workspace at home, right?
Yeah, and we had the same workspace, so it's just. Although, you know, since I haven't had to worry about workspace for like 2 months, you know. I haven't really been in there with her.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was thinking you guys were like work. She was like working out in the living area, but,
no.
Okay.
She's in the dining area and I was in the old, office area.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were right beside each other when we were working. And that was almost easier because she knew that I had to concentrate on my tasks. Now, since she knows I don't have anything that I really need to concentrate on, sometimes there are some Some topics that come up that maybe wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, that makes sense. That'll happen.
So, yeah,
But there's a certain amount of time at work that you spend talking to other people too, I feel like. It's kind of like a little
Oh.
bit into it.
Oh, yeah, I still feel like I was more efficient at home just because as much as the office that I was just at, they're like, oh, we like to have everyone here so that, they have the collaborative, spirit and everyone can kind of check in with everyone and maybe people have run into similar scenarios so they can help make it easier for other people. And yeah, I kind of get that, but it's still easy to do the work from here too. And I felt like it got done quicker because there was less of that idle chit chat that like I still think more of it happens. Like that was one of those things that when I was in school, people who didn't work in studio, I always was like, how do you do that? Like you need other people to bounce your ideas off of. But when I ended up working at home, I was like, oh, I get this shit done way quicker. 'Cause I would ask my two roommates what their opinions were, and I'd get two opinions on it. And then that was it, like that was end just, like we'd all kind of help each other, but that was it. Like sometimes you just get into talking to too many people or bullshitting when there are more people around. I guess I kind of have found the solitary thing to be fairly useful as far as just being able to concentrate on your task and doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting. For me, I guess it's just I find there's more distractions at home. Just for
Oh.
whatever reason, I'm able to kind of like tune things out more. Like, I mean, unless people are being really ridiculous with their conversating, but which sometimes does happen, but.
Yeah, well, and that might have been part of my problem is that my location in the office, I was at a high traffic location, so it was easy for people to pop in and say something to me. I mean, I kind of liked it because I actually could look out and see all of the outdoors from the office, even though I wasn't near a window itself. But I looked out on all of the windows, so it's kind of a nice spot. But yeah, I think the high traffic in that area kind of leads to me getting a couple extra distractions that maybe some other people who are in a corner or something do not have to deal with.
Well, I mean, we can, I guess we're just looking forward to the day when maybe we can go back to something like, normal days at the office. And speaking of things kind of returning after a long absence, Kevin, we saw this week
Smooth, man. I think that one was smooth.
a new trailer for, I guess, the third part of a sequel. A trilogy that we did not really, at least I did not really expect to ever see finished. But I am to see this come out. The third installment in the Bill and Ted, well, trilogy, I guess. Bill and Ted Face the Music. Bill and Ted 3 Face the Music. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of when I feel like we at least talked about this a little bit when they announced that they were finally going to do it. And it does, at least from the trailer, it seems the concept seems fairly funny. And I don't feel like they're giving away too much. Because I believe that the shenanigans are going to ensue when they finally get to the future, which they never show.
Yeah, they did show shenanigans with them kind of running into some kind of alternate versions of themselves with like muscles.
Yeah.
In a prison yard. But it was very light on plot points. Which is funny because I can just remember now, I had a flashback to the original Bill and Ted movie when it came out. And I think somebody was complaining about how they showed all the funny parts in the trailer for that Bill and Ted. And I don't think you I would hope not, because there's really not that many parts that they showed in this trailer, but it seems like they're going to save something for the movie.
So I'm going to take it that the person you were talking to did not like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
That's correct, yes. So,
okay, because I'm like, it would be impossible for me to put all of the funny moments from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure into a trailer. It would be nigh impossible, sir.
Be a long trailer.
And I do feel like I've watched that one recently, within the last, like, maybe 5 years, and I feel like it holds up.
Yeah.
I did not see Bill and Ted Goes to Hell. I've got to admit that one has definitely escaped my rewatching for quite some time.
All right, but you did watch it around the time it was released?
Yeah, it was, because I don't think I saw it in the theaters from what I can remember, what's kind of what I'm thinking, but I do know that I saw it at some point.
I'm pretty sure I saw it at the theater, and yeah, it was at the time a disappointment just because the first movie had been such a favorite, I guess. So it's one of those ones, if I go back and watch it, might be, you know, my expectations won't be as high, so maybe it would be not as bad. I remember that I believe Kiss had the song at the end, God Made Rock and Roll for You, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, of course.
I think Albert might have been pretty pumped about that, our friend from grade school who was obsessed with.
Yeah, I still, like, to this day, I harbor a minor hatred for Kiss because of that. It just got overwhelming at some point. Like, even though I liked Kiss to start with, I mean, I even remember spending my hard-earned money on a Lick It Up cassette at some point when they finally took off the face paint.
Before they put it back on, though, right?
And that was the first album, I think, that they had it off. And I remember playing that when we were Pin Monkeys and the church ladies not approving. So Kiss was cool, but at some point it just kind of burned out for me. And even when I listen to him now, like, I just can't. I'm like, okay, I guess. Like, you're definitely part of rock and roll history, but I'm just going to be kind of a not good fan about it.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. They have their part in rock and roll history, if you will. But I was never a huge fan of theirs. I would say over the years it's kind of went up a little bit, but then went down back again for me. I just feel like Gene Simmons, he just seems like a a-hole the more I've kind of encountered him, so that doesn't help.
That definitely does not help the situation at all.
But word of... Kiss or Gene Simmons being involved in this project, Kevin.
Wild Kids Stallions, I like them much more than Kiss.
Yeah. This was always an interesting premise, I guess, that a music band could somehow promote world peace, solve all these societal problems.
All through one song?
Yeah. I don't know, this the premise here does seem like it's appropriate for kind of the moment we're living through, I guess, of kind of a bit of disappointment, and you know, things didn't quite turn out the way we were hoping, I guess.
Yeah, because, and that's the, I really love the setup of the movie too. Just the fact that they are, well, the fact that they're supposed to be, aren't they supposed to be middle-aged losers?
I would say so.
And they're really, I love Keanu and Alex Winter. I believe he's had a couple of good, well-directed movies, but I don't know if I've seen them. But I've at least kind of heard people that I trust like them. They are definitely, they are pushing late middle age, I guess, is where I'm getting to.
Yeah, but it's just so weird. Like, if you look at the difference between Keanu Reeves in this trailer and like John Wick, like it just seems like so different. Like,
oh,
I mean, like going for a look here. You know, they're emphasizing kind of the middle agedness for this movie.
yeah, the completely shaved face is something like, I'm like, I guess I was like, oh, Keanu has facial hair a fairly decent amount, and I mean definitely in the John Wick. I guess he doesn't really have it in the Matrix.
Yeah, I was trying to think, he was all bald at the start of that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, He all bald, the kind of, the similar hairstyle, I would say, probably the same hairstyle. And, you know, Alex Winter really pulling off that, that hairstyle, I would say. Good for him. He's able to,
yeah.
I'll tell you, it's like a good, it's like how I would want to see those characters, you know, middle age, I guess. It's like,
yes,
they still look like themselves, but they're not like saying they're not as old as they are, I guess. You know? It's like a good look, I'd say, a good mix.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you're going for comedy and you don't have to do like the, oh, look, it's the 60-year-old guy who's completely ripped. They were definitely going for a more laid back look. Like Keanu didn't have to go to hand to hand combat training for the Bill and Ted shoot, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if they even did any guitar training for this movie. I'm gonna say probably not. That was part of the joke in the earlier movies, is that they were like not very good at actually playing guitar or, you know, being a rock band, at least for the first film. I believe they did get trained somehow. They went into some sort of a, I'm actually 100% sure, but they did win that Battle of the Bands in the second movie, if I remember right. Somehow they went into like, they trained and then came back from the future when they had trained. It was something like that, where they kind of fit in like years worth of training somehow.
Yeah, so they watched Dragon Ball Z and they went into the hyperbolic time chamber and came back out, and they were completely trained in a day's worth of time.
Yeah, they were in there playing guitar with the infinite expanse of white nothingness. Sometimes it would be fire coming out them, and sometimes there would be ice that would freeze their guitars, but they'd have to keep playing. Yeah, basically.
Sometimes Ted Nugent would just scream at them.
And they kept going until they both turned Super Saiyan. It was that they were good to go. Let's see. Also starring Kid Cudi as himself. He's a rapper. Kristen Schaal, Anthony Carrigan, Aaron Hayes, Jayma Mays, Jillian Holland Taylor, Beck Bennett. I guess I don't know a lot of those people.
I know about half of them.
Kristen Schaal, I know.
Yeah, the first couple I know. I need to...
And it also says
Frank. Oh, yeah, because Kid Cudi was on Comedy Bang Bang's TV show. And he was quite funny on that. So Aaron Hayes, well, Kristen Schaal, I've seen her in a couple of things, I feel like. Aaron Hayes was on Children's Hospital.
Oh, okay.
So,
as if I saw her.
And that Anthony Carrigan rings a bell, but I'm not quite sure. The last three I'm a little lost on. But yeah, I mean, it seems like they're kind of going for a fairly funny cast. So I'm pretty excited about the situation.
And the franchise creators, Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon, wrote the scripts. And so I guess that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that was pretty interesting. I liked your additional topic there.
Oh, right.
Which connected to this, which is because you were wondering how long it had been for this movie between the sequel and the conclusion of the trilogy in this case.
Math. Yeah, I did a little math there. I believe it's been 21 years since, or no, 29 years since 1991 when the second Bill and Ted's movie came out. Of course, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Probably the lesser of the two movies, I think, that have come out so far. It's probably not controversial to say.
But, no, not even a little bit.
That's one I'd like to go see, though, just to kind of, revisit. It's not going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen, but there is something about back and watching old stuff, especially when you're, like, trapped in your house. I think we might have talked about that.
Yeah.
The previous show.
And I might have to go back and watch Bill and Ted now just to start getting my inner Bill and Ted ready for. Well, and that was the other thing. Like, I believe they're still coming out with it this year.
In August, yeah.
Yeah, in August. So, like, that's because that's it. Some of them have had a good enough release just online that they're like, oh, screw it. We'll just open up online and, you know, we'll do it that way.
It didn't say, you know, they didn't mention how it was going to be released, but I imagine you're right. I don't think that they're going to have movie theaters opened up again, at least, who knows, but as it seems like some of the places that are open, they're going to have to close up again now, but down in Texas or Arizona, maybe.
Yeah, and there were places, well, and AMC was saying, that they weren't completely sure that they were going to be able to recover.
Yeah, that's right. But, I assume it'll be a video on release, so that'll be, or video on demand kind of release, so.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. But yeah, so
I'll definitely be ponying up for that one.
29 years is a long time, but there was other movies that have actually been longer than that, if you can believe it, Kevin, between their sequel and the next movie.
There are not very many that were longer than that. The top 10 list that you had, I feel like at 29 years, there weren't a lot of over 29.
No, not too many.
This list is pretty, like, I still can't believe that I missed Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, or at least I'm pretty sure I did not end up seeing it.
Yeah, so that would have been 9 years after the original release back in 2014. I thought that the first one was pretty interesting.
I liked how they adapted the comic to the big screen. So, I guess I was, it is kind of weird, like, just waiting 9 years did not help them at all.
No, that's not a way to really capture momentum there. these movies are really striking while they aren't hot, you could say.
Yeah. That one seems like a strike while the iron's hot kind of a situation.
Godfather 3, that was 16 years. So that's getting me up there, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, and even, I did kind of laugh that Toy Story 3 was 10 years.
Oh, right.
And I feel like that 3 revitalized the franchise in the long run. Like, I'm not a big Toy Story guy, but I do, like, my younger brother likes it a lot, and I just know other people very into it, and I'm just like, I feel like that was the one, even though they waited that long, it really kind of cemented Toy Story as, like, one of those iconic movies for, you know, young people who were that age.
Yeah, people really, really like that third one. I thought it was pretty good, too. The Godfather Part 3, though, I'm not sure anybody really thinks that that's their favorite one in the trilogy.
Oh, no one has ever said that. And if they did, they're just being smartasses. I would never, if someone actually said that, I'd just not believe them. At all.
If I'm not mistaken, there's clips from the other movies in that movie, which is just like, come on. Rambo, Kevin, you were saying you watched this one. We were talking about it a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah.
That was 19 years after the most recent Rambo, I guess.
Well, no, the funny thing is about this one is that this Rambo came out, which year did they say? Rambo was released 2008. They just recently, Melissa and I went, oh my God, was that 12 years in between Rambos then again? Because we just went to go see the last Rambo.
Oh, there was one after this.
It was in 2019, I believe. Or early 2020. Jeremy watched it, and that thing is completely cuckoo bonkers, too. Because this one's cuckoo bonkers in its own way. But I can't believe that... and I don't think there is a Rambo movie in between. Oh, I'm going to have to look that up now.
Well, it seemed like this one, you know, maybe was not quite up to Toy Story 3 levels, but at least was well-received by people. The next, you can't say that for.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was, yeah. So, yeah, that last one was 2019, Last Blood.
Last Blood? Oh, my God. I can't believe they did it. That's like a Weird Al parody level.
Oh, and there is a lot of blood in that movie. A lot. I'm just going to say, do not show that one to your daughter unless you preview that one.
All right. Well, I was never really into Rambo myself, so that's probably not one I'll search for.
It's hilarious. See it.
another example of not striking while the iron is hot. Dumb and Dumber 2, T.O., what does that mean? Does someone explain that?
Well, that's one of those, it's supposed to be funny because, you know, it's not T-O-O, or it's not what it's supposed to really be, which is T-W-O.
I don't know.
Because you get it? They're dumb.
Yeah.
Harold and Lloyd are dumb, so the title to their sequel's got to be dumb.
Well, this one came out 20 years, just about, after the original. And one thing I was surprised to learn about that original is that... Why was that Why am I blanking on his name? The not Jerry fellow.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. He only got paid like $50,000 for that movie. He like, they didn't want him, I feel like. And he was like, whatever, I really think this is a great movie. I want to do it. And, you know, Jim Carrey was making like multi-million dollars. So, I mean, that would have to be a little, I would feel like.
Wow. Yeah. That sucks for him.
I know.
I did and not realize that was the case.
I feel like it was something like super low. I mean, well, I mean, 50,000 is not the worst, you know, thing that someone could give you, but compared to like your coworker getting multi-million dollars, I mean, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Tron. This was another one, 28 years. So we're getting close to Bill and Ted levels now.
Yeah, we're sneaking up on Bill and Ted.
I mean, I enjoyed the visuals of Tron.
I guess I should go on record. I did not see Dumb and Dumber 2. Everyone that did see it for me told me it was terrible. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not using my time on that.
Yeah, I practiced a similar method there. I did not hear anything about that one. Tron was not particularly good. I watched it in a theater. I watched the original on video, but the remake that 20 years later, or reboot? No, it's a sequel. That's right.
Yeah, it's a sequel.
I watched it. It wasn't great.
Yeah, I I'm trying to remember if I saw original Tron or Tron Legacy recently, and I think it was Legacy. And, like, I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible, I guess, either.
Now, this next one was a good one, I would say. Universally, Mad Max Fury Road, 29 years after Beyond Thunderdome. Gave us the classic song.
Yeah, this was one that the Mad Max trilogy was one that I was not a big fan of in childhood.
For some reason, I remember watching that a lot, especially the third one, but I really don't remember anything about it. So it might have been just one of those things that was kind of like on in the background, or my dad or uncle was watching and I really wasn't supposed to be watching or something.
That definitely would not have flown in the DeFranco household at that time. That probably would not have cut the PG mustard, I don't believe.
Yeah, although I'm considering whether I would show it to Fury Road. We've been introducing rated movies to my daughters, so. But I might have to go back and watch it. It did seem like it was a good movie, so just like from artistic reasons.
Yeah, it was an awesome movie. Like, this kind of, like, I'm like, oh, if they're going to do this stuff, I'm in on a Mad Max franchise. Like, I was completely okay if they decided to come up with another one of these. And I feel like it's been a little while now.
I don't think they can.
Oh, yeah, because that's 2015.
Yeah. They don't need to wait another 29 years.
They could do another one. That would be really fun. I really enjoyed that one a lot.
Now, The Force Awakens, Star Wars. A little controversial here. It's technically 32 years since the Return of the Jedi, which this, I believe, is a sequel to. Although there were the prequel movies that came out in the noughties.
And that was still kind of crazy that it was 10 years between the prequels and The Force Awakens. That's still a pretty decent chunk of time. And I guess I kind of get the argument about the 32 years, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that I'm more on the 10-year side of things here. if you wanted your Star Wars fix, you could get it. I understand that it is not, those were not sequels, and they were definitely 100% prequels, but you could definitely scratch your itch. I did not particularly scratch my itch well, because I didn't like most of those, but...
I feel like I'm here. I want to go back and watch Return of the Jedi, because I think that's Star Wars movie I've seen the least, and we might have discussed that before, but
we did.
I still haven't done that yet, but you know, I have hope maybe anyway. Another movie I have not seen, Blade Runner, 35 years after the original Blade Runner. They had that 2049. I started watching the original Blade Runner recently, and that is a slow-moving movie. You kind of have to – it's one of those movies that you just sort of have to get your brain adjusted to a little. You've got to shift gears a little bit to kind of pick up what it's laying down.
That's one. Blade Runner is one that I have not seen in a very long time, the original. And I know that I did not end up seeing this sequel, which I believe this is over Bill and Ted levels, is it not, at 35 years?
Yes, this one is longer than the Bill and Ted. Finally, we got there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Bill and Ted only fills up the number three slot. It bumps out. Does it move Mad Max? It moves Star Wars back a slot, I guess.
If we're going to, willing to call it that Star Wars is only 10 years, then I guess that would bump that back a few spots.
Yeah, so I guess everything kind of stays in place.
It might tie for a second with
which make Matt, it Sin City would get kicked off the list, which is just fine. It's less relevant. It's probably the least relevant of all of these sequels.
And of course, maybe not, but number one with 54 years between movies, Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins Returns came out in 2019, was it?
Was it 18 or 19?
I think it's 18. Yeah, 18, because it was 1964 the original came out, which was 54 years. Seemed like people liked this one, Kevin.
The people seemed to like it. The Kevin did not see it, so I can neither confirm nor deny its positive outlook.
I remember watching it, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it was sort of a return to comfort, I guess, in a way.
I've always had something of a natural revolt to Mary Poppins and The Wizard of Oz. And I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, The Sound of Music. They were always those specials that came on yearly during their particular part of the year. I was always made to watch them. And at some point, I was just like, can I just watch something else right now?
And I guess they're all musicals. I'm trying to think of all the similarities there. Two of them starring Julie Andrews. I'm a big Julie Andrews fan.
Maybe my mom was a really big Julie Andrews fan, I guess.
We actually watched The Sound of Music here at home recently. I think we all enjoyed it pretty well, but I don't really remember having watched it before this year, I feel like. And you're just a monster for not liking The Wizard of Oz. I'm just not sure what to say about that.
Oh, no, I should rescind that comment for The Wizard of Oz. I do enjoy that. I have recovered on the Wizard of Oz burnout as a child.
Yeah, you know, I might have mentioned.
I think that one's a little easier to appreciate and enjoy.
Yeah, I might have mentioned that my daughter is regularly unimpressed with the special effects in some classic movies.
Those Gen Zers are hard to impress.
That's right. In The Wizard of Oz, there's some not great special effects, but that scene where, like, towards the beginning after Dorothy arrives in Oz and the witch arrives to try the shoes, and then she's kind of thwarted, and she leaves in a, there's like a pillar of fire effect that happens when she leaves. Like, that scene is still badass, and it looks badass because it's like real fire that they had rigged up there, and somehow like a trap door that she had to just like escape through in time before getting burned up. So, you know, there's some good stuff in that movie, I guess. that still holds up. But yeah, so I don't know. Hopefully, this will be Bill and Ted will be one of the good movies that waited a long time between offerings. We're just going to have to wait and see, Kevin.
Yeah, we will find out in August.
There's simply no other way.
Well, Ken, I did not wait 10 years to find Forrest Fenn's treasure.
Oh, yeah.
But evidently there were a large number of people that were aware that this New Mexican art dealer hid a treasure. And I actually I actually did extra research on this one for a change because I was pretty intrigued by the article that you linked to.
I see.
Because they did not mention what the clues were to help find the treasure. But I guess he is still alive. He hid the treasure. It was placed in a 13th century Romanesque bronze chest. Which...
Just like a full-on treasure chest.
Yeah.
Is gold coins inside?
Hidden with an estimated $2 million of gold, jewelry, and gems.
Wow.
I wonder how much that container is worth, just in and of itself. I mean, something from the 13th century, how many of those things are floating around?
I mean, even if they made a shitload of them back in the 13th century...
It's the 13th fucking century.
Right.
It was the 1200s sometime. That is a long-ass time ago.
No, I don't think they were mass-producing back then, so yeah.
And the fact that it tolerated 10 years of weathering since it was, at least from, they don't really say. It could have been in a cave, so maybe there wasn't that much weathering. But still, there's an ecosystem in a cave that would probably help break that any type of object down.
Yeah, for sure. So, people have been aware of this for 10 years, like you said. He put out clues as to like where this treasure was located, but they must have been pretty vague, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, he wrote a he wrote a poem that had, and I swear I saw the map earlier, and now I don't see it.
By the way, I swear we did the story, at an earlier podcast when we were talking about treasure being out there still, but I looked through our archives, I could not find it. Listeners, perhaps you know. If not...
Yeah, it was somewhere... Like, there is a lot of open territory that this guy is covering, too, where the treasure might be. Is Montana, Wyoming, or Colorado? Oh, and New Mexico.
big states.
Yeah.
Although it is, I think, he said it was somewhere in this mountain range, right?
Yeah, so he had a full map, and it looks like everything was on public land, you know, like the whole area that you could go was the public lands. And he had a little poem along with it to help you find the treasure.
Yeah, multiple people have unfortunately met their end. They're searching for this treasure as well.
That is definitely the craziest thing. Well, I don't know if it's the craziest thing about this. Because I guess if you knew that there was $1 million out there and you just needed to find it, I guess you take the chance. Like, this isn't like one of those One-Eyed Willy situations where you're just hoping that the treasure's there.
Yeah, that always bothered me about the Goonies. Like, I feel like there really wasn't enough of a... I mean, I guess they didn't really have much other options, right? They needed something to pull money together somehow, but... He really didn't have a reason to think that treasure was still there. They lucked out, I think.
Oh, they definitely lucked out. 100%. Like, for as easy as, somewhat easy as that ended up being to find, it was just because someone was sitting on the information for that long, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if any adult would have just taken the time to get past those traps that were set up, which they should have been able to do fairly easily, yeah, that treasure really should have been yours. Even though they did see people that met their demise along the way, it did not seem overly tricky, in my opinion.
Yeah, that movie may not have been 100% realistic, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's still 100% enjoyable, because I definitely watched that during the quarantine several times, so...
Now, I don't think that this Forrest Fenn, the art dealer who left this treasury, it didn't sound like he had any actual booby traps there for any of these treasure seekers to trip, so that's good.
No, it seemed like a very expensive geocache. Honestly. Because most people leave some type of object and they just kind of put it on a map for someone else to find. And you're supposed to replace the object or, you know, kind of change up the spotting of it for the next person to come searching for it.
Right. Except in this case, you're... probably not going to leave that behind for somebody else, I guess.
No. I mean, that would be pretty cool to just go, I have something from the 13th century. Like, that would be, like, up on my mantle to show off.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, I'm trying to think... Romanesque from the 13th century. I'm trying to think of what that would be exactly. But anyway, I'm getting way too fascinated by that.
Yeah, I wonder if this gentleman is happy that somebody found it. Did he get what he wanted out of it? Was he, you know... regretful of having done this based on, you know, having perished while they're searching for this treasure. I have questions, Kevin.
Well, and that's why I was almost, that was one part of the story I did not look into more was the death part of it. Which would be kind of interesting, I guess. To see how many people perished?
Yeah, I believe it was at least three. And one searcher died as recently as March.
Five people have died trying to find the treasure.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that was in the extra article. (Clears throat) But I mean, I guess.
I mean, people probably die on trails and things without looking for treasure. I mean, I know they do.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I'm kind of wondering about. Like, what did you, like, you did something wrong. Like, I would guess, like, if it's all national park land and you can kind of stop and rest and everything, like, yeah, like you said, like, things can go wrong even when you're not looking for a treasure, so... Yeah,
yeah.
I guess I'd feel kind of bad about it, but
there's a lot of other people who just had a good time, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How many people did do that? How many people just went out there, didn't find it, and just said, "Ah, screw it," and just walked away? Like, I have no idea, one way or the other.
I mean, I guess that is cool that somebody found it, and it's, you know, while this guy was still alive. Well, it's a very interesting story. Like, that's not a very typical thing to do for someone to just leave $2 million worth of actual treasure out for someone else to find.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I couldn't really find was the psychology behind doing this.
Yeah, it's a little hard to imagine.
Oh, well, I guess this is kind of funny. Well, no, the one part isn't funny. I guess it says that after Colorado pastor Paris Wallace died in 2017, Fenn made a public statement saying the treasure was not located anywhere that presented a risk, noting he was nearly 80 years old when he hiked from his car to hide it. Nobody should have risked their lives, but certainly there are some losses and tragic losses, and I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You're right. It's probably good to come out. So that was nice.
And you would think that, you know, you should have, I guess if you feel like you've gotten the clues to the poem, that you should have a fairly small, you know, a narrow, somewhat narrow search area. And, yeah, I don't know, man. I guess I do put a lot of onus on the people out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking for it,
your own responsibility for your own actions. I don't know. It's pretty cool. I just don't think I would ever do it. But
it kind of just made me think about when we were out in Las Vegas last year. And I'm around monkeying on rocks. Meanwhile, my father-in-law had taken a face plant onto a rock. And, you know, things can go bad in a hurry there when you're not even trying or not even... He was just coming down a fairly gently sloped hill. It was gravelly, and that was the problem, that he slipped on the gravel and... lost his balance. But it's easy to get messed up at a state park even when you think it's kind of easy and a bunch of people are doing it, like, because everyone kind of had to walk down that hill to kind of get this view that they had set up off of the parking lot area there. So, yeah, I mean, you can barely get a couple of steps from your car and screw yourself up at a national park. I guess I don't know really from personal experience, but I know from a personal experience.
Yeah, and they're not like guardrails and things or fencing. If you wanted to walk off the edge of a cliff, you probably could. So.
Oh yeah, and there were certainly there were some rocks that you know I was climbing on that. Hey, if I had unbalanced myself the one way or the other, could have been a problem with my landing. So I know that I'm assuming some level of risk by climbing on what I climb sometimes when I'm in such places.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I guess I did always like the old Unsolved Mysteries. I'm not sure that I would have taken time out to search for this necessarily, but hey, maybe it was near. Because they did not, he did not reveal where exactly it was.
Right.
Honestly. And it does look like where my sister-in-law lives is within the map range. So I could have gone on at least a little expedition somewhere, at least part of the search area. But I mean, again, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico. That's a very wide swath of land.
Yeah, and I mean, they didn't say who won it, so I guess there's a chance your sister-in-law could have been the one to find the treasure, Kevin. You think that's the sort of thing that she would keep to herself?
I don't think she'd be able to keep that one to herself. I think that the family would know, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody would tell.
Yeah, I think that there would be a tale of that if that was indeed the case.
Well, is it time to tell the tale of our Belltime beers of the evening here?
Yes, it is.
I am enjoying a local, well, to Ohio at least, beverage, Rheingeist Truth. Had gotten away from that a little bit, but I came back to it again this past weekend.
Yeah, it's a good one. We took a trip down to Wolf's Ridge this past weekend to do a little pickup order. I got one of the 2 4-packs that I got was called Fury Brand. It's a cherry vanilla Berliner Weiss. So there's a definitely some tartness involved there, since you're definitely headed into the sour category. It's pretty refreshing. It is very tart and very cherry. I don't like it quite as much as the cherry cordial, I will be honest, but this is still a pretty delicious beer. So I believe the wife will approve, but we will find out in the very near future here.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Yep. And I think that does it for the evening. So I'm at DeFrango 11. He is at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on any of the listening platforms, since we are pretty much on all of them at this point. If you aren't on that platform, you really have a low-ranking platform. I'm just.
You should get on a platform. Yeah.
So, everybody, have a good night.
We'll see you.